I'm Mary Engish, the producer of the show. Charlie Nardozzi is the sultan of soil and all things gardening, and he is here. Hello, hello, Charlie.
The sultan of soil. That's a new one. Thank you, Mary.
Charlie, you are, I know this about you, you like to nibble on foraged greens. What is even growing right now for people to forage and eat in terms of wild greens?
Well, it's just starting, and I've been nibbling on some wintercress, and pretty soon the dandelions will be coming along and lots of the other ones. So I know many people like to forage wild greens, and they're delicious that way, especially when they're young, but you can also bring them into your garden. And there are certain ones that we grow in our garden as a cultivated variety, and some of the seed companies have caught on to this, and they actually have been breeding them to be a little more attractive and a little more edible. So let's talk about some of my favorites. The first, of course, is the dandelion. We think of the dandelion as that yellow flower in lawns and fields, but the one to grow as a cultivated version is actually in the chicory family. You see it in Italy a lot. It has leaves that look just like the regular wild dandelion, but they're bigger. The leaves are not as bitter. You can actually eat them right through the summer into the fall, and they produce a nice little blue flower. There's some actually cultivated varieties. Cleo is one, and Italico Red is nice because it has red stems to it. There's two other ones that germinate really well, and you see them all the time because we think of them as weeds. Lamb's quarters and amaranth. Lamb's quarters, of course, is a chenopodium, and it has nice little green leaves, which are really nice in the spring for salads, for soups, and things of that nature. There's a variety called Magenta Spreen that has magenta-colored new growth. It's really attractive. It just stands out in the garden. And of course, if you have lamb's quarters, they'll self-sow, and you'll have them forever in your garden. The same is true with the amaranth, also known as Callaloo. So it's a very popular green in Jamaican cooking and African cooking, Asian cooking, and in recipes. The greens are harvested when they're small. They're usually cooked, not usually eaten raw because they're kind of tough, but they're great in stews and soups and things of that nature. And the final one is one that you see more towards midsummer because it likes really warm soil to germinate, and that's purslane. And you'll see purslane kind of creeping along the top of the soil with those really succulent stems and leaves. There's a new variety of that called Goldberg Golden, which has golden colored leaves and stems to it, and that's another edible that you can grow. So get a little wild in your garden this year and grow some of these wild greens.
I think as adventurous I get with greens is like kale, but I'm happy to know that all of these varieties are out there, Charlie. Somebody else can eat them. Here's a question from Dale. Dale writes in to say, I have a couple of questions about leeks. I've grown them for many years, started them from seed. Number one, there's a pest that's tunneling in them. It's the second year that I've seen it. I'm not putting any leek waste into the compost, so it won't survive and multiply. How do I combat that pest problem? The second question is, many of the leeks bolted last summer, making flower stems and then kind of like a hard neck, as in garlic. It's never happened before. Do you have any idea why those things are happening?
Yes, Dale. There is a insect that's relatively new on the scene called a leek moth, and that's the one that goes after all the allium, so not just leeks, but garlic, onions, and anything in that family. It lays its egg on the leek leaf, and the egg hatches into a caterpillar that tunnels down, as you were seeing, into your leeks. It can really destroy the growth point of the leeks, and if they have bulbs, it can go down into the bulbs too. So it's really something you have to be watching out for. First thing to do would be not to plant any of your alliums in the same bed for 4 years. Rotate things around. And what we do is we cover the whole allium bed with a micro mesh, which is kind of like a row cover that's very light, like a window screen, so you can see through it, you can water through it, and that keeps the leek moth from laying its egg, and that seems to work pretty well. As far as the bolting goes, that's something that happens with leeks under certain conditions. So if we have ideal warm spring conditions, and then all of a sudden we get a cold snap, that will often stimulate that flower stalk to form. I would protect the plants a little bit this spring, especially if there's cold weather forecasts, and I wouldn't fertilize them at all, and just see if that helps.
Next question is from Kathy. Kathy writes, I've heard that it's smart to not rake your lawn early because the bees are still in a state of hibernation or not yet ready to leave all the leaves that might be on your lawn. Is this true?
It is true, Kathy. Yes. The native bees, it's still early for them. They're not really out of hibernation yet. So if you start raking the lawn, raking the leaves up, you could be removing them and actually disturbing them and hurting them. So I would just be patient. Wait for a series of 50, 60 degree days, probably sometime in April, middle, end of April or so, when those bees will then be able to kind of take off, and then you can do your cleanup.
Find this and many, many years worth of great garden advice and expertise from Charlie Nardozzi at vermontpublic.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can send gardening questions to gardening@vermontpublic.org. Thanks as always, Charlie.
You're welcome as always, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.